As players brave the elements of Australia's oceans, the Fox Footy team is firing up this week's footy news agenda in the podcast bunker. This is the Monday Review.
We're done. Round 23 is finished. The home and away season is wrapped up, and that is all she wrote. But for eight clubs, AFL Finals is just over the horizon in a fortnight's time. Hi, everyone. My name is Tom Morris, and welcome to the Monday morning Fox Footy Review podcast. Recapping everything round 23, as we have done all year for the round that's just gone. But this week, we're also recapping all the non-finalists. That's 10 teams. We're going to go through them one by one here with Riley Beveridge and Max Lawton. We've got Jonathan Brown to come a little bit later on. Of course, the Brisbane Lions three-time premiership great. And Fair or Fast, Australia's favourite segment. Can't wait for that. But first, let me welcome the two men in the Fox Footy podcast bunker today. First of all, Riley, welcome to you.
G'day, Tom. Great to be here. Probably feeling better than you are this morning, I'd imagine, given Melbourne's escapades over the weekend.
Escapades, or lack thereof. And you're wearing a nice new headset today as well, Riley. Yes. For those people playing at home, it's almost like a Lucky You're With Amy type headset.
Yeah, I got the mic just coming down from the headphones. It's great, actually. I feel like I can walk around. I'm feeling loose today.
Unlike other days. And Max Lawton, Monday morning Fox Footy podcast for the first time this year?
First time in the studio.
Yes.
Thank you for having me. I thought when you were saying we're done at the top of the pod that you meant yourself. Ooh. Again with the Demons, but
well,
shall we get to that first?
The first of many whacks, I'm assuming.
Oh, my
God. I mean, not that they need them. It's really... Champion Data gave a 5% chance at the start of the round that Melbourne would not be playing finals, making it a distinct but very remote possibility. And then round 23 happened.
And it happened, and we'll talk about the Demons. But I think, first of all, it's important to just recap how the weekend unfolded.
Yes.
Now, we know what happened on Friday night, and that was significant more so for retirements and the fact that the Bulldogs couldn't make the finals.
Well, they could have.
They could have, but they lost.
The weekend unfolded. I mean, you never know if they had have won, what results might have followed after that. Yeah,
but they lost. But let's move on to Saturday. And here we are, the first game on Saturday. It's Collingwood against Melbourne at the MCG. Take it away, Max.
Well, Collingwood enters the ground. Very little to play for except a certain coach who, by the time you're hearing this, may have a new contract.
Yep.
And then Melbourne comes out and loses somehow in this situation where they needed to win to play finals for the first time in 11 years, and they just came out and looked terrible at the start of the game, and they didn't look great for the rest of it. And by the end of it, they were even missing chances that could have ended up giving them percentage they needed to play finals.
That was what hurt the most, I think. When you saw how close West Coast Adelaide was in the end, the fact that Melbourne missed so many opportunities to which could have propelled them into finals was remarkable. Oof. If you rewind 12 months ago, Melbourne almost had its destiny in its own hands again when they played Carlton in that penultimate game of the season and lost that one as well against a team that had literally nothing to play for. They don't do well against
And
them.
Then West Coast and Adelaide had the exact same scores, round 23, in both seasons.
You two are getting far too much delight over watching Melbourne. Well, can I ask you a question? Why do people who aren't Melbourne supporters get so much pleasure in seeing the Demons fail when the Demons have been so bad for so long?
I had no pleasure in it. Away. I was not in front of the television, so I was following along on my phone. Yeah. Great coverage on foxfooty.com.au, by the way. Yeah. And tracking the scores. And I was upset. I wanted to see Melbourne play the finals. I said last week on the pod, I don't want West Coast to play finals.
Yes.
I don't see them having any impact, and Melbourne is an interesting and better story.
Yeah.
But Schadenfreude is so good.
Why are you smiling from ear to ear?
Mostly because I've been copying it from you and Sammy Dado the entire season.
For being a Carlton fan.
It's about time, isn't it?
All right, so we moved from Collingwood Melbourne to Brisbane North, which was irrelevant in regards to finals, but very relevant to draft picks, Max. And you stood firm on the fact that North Melbourne made a mistake in this match.
This was North's worst performance of the year and Brisbane's best because they completely screwed up at tanking North Melbourne. Look, it always makes sense. The players don't care about tanking. They don't want better players on the list to overtake them and take their spot in the team.
Yeah.
They want worse players and they want to win. And they're playing for new contracts and all that stuff. And you know, North is in a better position than Brisbane because Brisbane at times look like an expansion team this season.
Yeah.
Whereas North, you know, they've got some talent, they've got some promise, they've still got some veteran stars. So it made sense that they were going to win. But there you go. They go all the way up to pick four, which we worked out based on the draft value index that they use for academy picks and stuff. North essentially gave up pick 14 by winning that game. It's a first round pick they gave away by winning. Is that worth it? No, surely not.
I think in this draft, though, you have to analyse it in this draft. It's incredibly even in the first round.
Yeah.
So there's not much difference between, well, there obviously is, but I mean, when you go back through the annals of history, how often do you see blokes being picked at pick one that aren't necessarily the best players in the draft?
Yeah.
I think we overhype it a bit too much. I think drafts tend to be pretty even. They tend to be talent spread across the board, and I think you'll find a similar situation unfold this year. And I don't think it does too much to limit North's buying power at the end of the season. I mean, Dustin Martin's a free agent, so they're not going to have to give up anything for him if they do go after him. The only one is Kelly. People say they could use the preseason draft as a bargaining chip, but how often do you see that actually?
It's purely for negotiations. It's never going to actually be used, I don't think.
And then Sydney Carlton wasn't really Sydney Carlton. It was Buddy Franklin and the rest.
It was Sydney Carlton for the first half.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But in the end, it was Buddy, wasn't it? But 10 goals, 2.
Outscored them.
Name me a more entertaining footballer to watch.
Well, how old are you, Maxie?
25.
And you, Tommy?
I've just turned 26.
Is he the best player you've both ever seen? Because I'm 24, and I think he's the best player I've ever seen.
I think when Buddy's at his best, there's no one better that I've seen.
Yeah.
It's so hard to judge position v position, but yes.
He's the most talented player.
That I've watched. Most impressive, you could almost say.
But he's a showman. He reminds me of Tiger Woods at his best, and Shane Warne at his best, and Roger Federer at his best. He's up in that sort of echelon because it's his game. Everything else just revolves around him in slow motion, and he just does what he wants.
And the thing is, we were talking to, I was in the office talking to Brad Smith, who's been a producer on footy coverage for years and years, and remembers all the 90s, the heyday.
Yeah.
I believe 36 players kicked a bag of 10 goals or more in the 1993 season.
Is that right?
That many players haven't kicked that since.
Yeah.
It's so rare nowadays. Well, and you'd watch a round of footy, Ablett would kick 10, Dunster would kick 10, Lockett would kick 10. You just don't see it. And having that come back into the game,
it's awesome.
It doesn't happen, but it's so fun.
And I was actually researching while I was writing the article for that game, and I was looking up Jason Dunstall's stats because he was commentating on the match. He kicked 10 or more 16 times in his career. This was Buddy's second. I was amazed that he's only kicked, before the weekend, he'd only kicked 10 once. That was that 13 game in Tasmania. 13. Move along, Geelong GWS. Now, this is where the finals implications really kicked in, because Geelong won, and they won well, and that will affect GWS. Well, it does affect GWS's position on the ladder, doesn't it, Maxie?
It's enormous. It sent GWS down to fourth, thanks to the result at the MCG on Sunday as well. And look, Geelong looked very good. They easily accounted for GWS, and whether that was more to do with the fact it was at home, the fact that GWS isn't completely at full strength yet. We saw them against West Coast the week before, not looking incredible. It surprised me as a Cats fan, and I'm usually pessimistic about them, so I didn't expect them to win. I didn't tip them to last week on the pod, but they did. And for the eighth time in 11 years, they finish in the top two. It's remarkable.
Yeah. Riley, if I'd said to you 2 years ago that Stevie J would be fighting for a spot in the Giants lineup with Matt DeBoer, what would you have said to me?
Yeah, the Matt DeBoer part I wouldn't have believed. But
but it's reality now.
Well, he played at Freo back then, so you would have...
No, but it's reality right now.
And Stevie J played at Geelong back then.
And I don't think he should be in the side going into finals.
No.
He's not in their best 22, is he?
No, he did not. He had no impact.
Yeah.
On
and he's never been defensively good. So if he's offensively no good, he's actually just a sitting duck. Really.
And you would say that given the tolls that GWS has, a lot of their problem is not having the forward pressure. Mm. So Stevie J is important there.
Just one last one for you on this game, Maxie.
Mm.
Next year, who would you rather have in your forward line, Dan Menzel or Devon Smith?
Devon Smith looked good. I like Devon Smith, and he does bring that extra element.
By all accounts, it seems like the Cats are going to favour.
I'd be fine with that. Dan Menzel brings no pressure. He kicks great goals, but no pressure.
Port versus Gold Coast. This was unbelievable. Not since 1966 had a team had 5 scoring shots in a game.
As few as.
And Gold Coast had three of them in the first 10 minutes.
They were insipid.
Two scoreless quarters.
Back-to-back. First time a team has had back-to-back scoreless quarters since 2009. Jade Rawlings' first game as coach as Richmond as a Richmond stand-in coach.
The fact that Port had to go into that game and you had to win by 70 or more points to get a chance at fourth or to finish above Sydney, and they did it easily.
And they were only 2 points up at quarter time, so it was interesting because at the time Sydney went into fourth on the live ladder after they demolished Carlton. Port then leapfrogged them, so Sydney were fourth for all of 3 hours or something like that, and that allowed Port then to finish fifth on the ladder in the end, because Richmond of course won on Sunday. Essendon and Freo had a chance here. They got within 8 points at one stage, but it is good to see Essendon playing finals, if from a neutral perspective, I feel, given what the club's been through and Joe Watts and all that sort of stuff.
No, you can't argue against the story, really. You can say what you want about Essendon, but it's great to see them having a shot. Huge fan base. I believe the most people saw their games of any team this year live at the ground, so good on the fans for sticking by them as well. And I think they're a threat, although they're playing Sydney, so maybe not. If they're against Port, maybe.
Can Essendon do any damage, do you reckon, Riley?
Yeah, well, we saw them challenge Sydney up there a few weeks ago, and that was a very strong Sydney side on the peak of their powers at the time, so why not?
I've been wanting to see that rematch for a couple of months and predicting it the run home, and very happy to see it come to fruition.
Yes, it's come again. It's terrific. And then Richmond St Kilda, well, the Tigers looked dominant from the start, and they just held on, really. They put the queue, they probably didn't quite put the queue in the rack, but it was a foregone conclusion that they'd get the 4 points after probably quarter time. And it means they finished third, which is a terrific effort. Do we dare suggest that a doomsday scenario of back-to-back losses, Riley, might eventuate here for the Tigers?
Do they play Sydney if they lose?
Yeah.
That's what's difficult.
I said this a few weeks ago, that this was starting to shape up from about a month out, that they could go lose the first qualifying final to whoever they play. And then, although if I'm being completely honest, in a fortnight's time, I'll probably tip them against Geelong.
Would you?
I went through it briefly last night and tipped them as well. I mean, that the MCG thing we've talked about, but with the home final thing, just to briefly go over that.
Yes.
Six times in league history has a team hosted a final at its home ground when the biggest ground in the state was otherwise available. Four of those times since about 2000. The last three, the home team's lost. GWS to the Bulldogs, Geelong to Fremantle, and North to Port Adelaide in 2005. It's not even this huge advantage based on that history.
No.
But in terms of Richmond, that's very much that chance. And it's such a huge qualifying final because of the way the bracket works. We say that the loser is going to properly face Sydney or Essendon, which could be a very dangerous semi-final. But the winner, they get a prelim against the loser of Adelaide GWS or Port or West Coast.
Yeah.
I still think Adelaide or GWS is stronger than both of these two sides.
I agree, but that's still a really good side of the bracket to be on. That's a really good chance at getting a grand final spot.
It is.
Or it could be a bad side of the bracket to be on because you have to play Sydney if you lose.
Well, that's what I mean. The winner is in a fantastic spot. Yeah.
The winner makes the grand final, in my view.
And I
wouldn't say that. I think Adelaide or GWS could beat either of these sides at the G.
Yeah. At the G?
Yeah.
I agree. I think GWS and Adelaide could, but it is inarguably the weaker qualifying
final.
Adelaide
have a surprisingly good record.
I don't think the Giants can beat anyone. Anyway, that's for a finals preview. We are going off on a tangent, which is fair enough. That game, of course, is on Friday week, Geelong-Richmond at the MCG. And West Coast-Adelaide. Oh, my God, West Coast-Adelaide.
It's so weird how you have nothing to play for, and you play like you have nothing to play for. And West Coast, they had the last game at Subiaco. They had the chance at finals. They were sniffing it. They knew the equation going in. And they just get over the line. The live ladder getting as much of a workout as anything in history.
You know the thing about this, though, Max? The live ladder became 8-9. Yes. They didn't have the full ladder up. It was just 8-9 fluctuating.
They've been so unconvincing all year. They have to be convincing, they are.
Oh, it just was it was unbelievable. You know, so I'm in a WhatsApp group with about 150 Melbourne supporters, Max and Riley.
I couldn't think of anything worse, if I'm being honest.
To be honest, there's nothing better for networking than this WhatsApp group. If you want to go to the snow or Port Douglas, someone's always got a house. Anyway, and the WhatsApp group, which is called D's Nation, actually was called Crows Nation on Saturday with a photo of the Adelaide Crows.
Titus O'Reilly tweeting hashtag WeFlyersOne.
Actually legitimately supporting a team that you don't support is incredibly frustrating because you realise, Rory Atkins, what are you doing? Hit a target. And you've never watched him like that before. It is so frustrating.
Richard Douglas almost went in the Hall of Fame. Charlie Cameron popping up.
Yeah, oh my God. So, I mean, good on Adelaide. They still make the finals and they finish first. But, geez, they've stuffed up a lot of people's Mondays, I tell you that.
It makes sense they've got an easier potential opponent in the finals now.
Yeah. Well done, Adelaide. Who cares? Well, West Coast, Matt Prittis and Sam Butler and Sam Mitchell. And it seems Drew Petrie as well after a little slip-up from the coach. We'll get another game, so that'll be an elimination final.
Let's be fair to West Coast. They played better over the season based on the numbers, so they deserve to be in the finals. I don't think anyone thinks that they're more of a threat to win a final than Melbourne did.
Well, they play Port Adelaide.
And they do play well on the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, it's not an unwinnable game at all.
It's a very winnable game.
Can I ask you a question, Tommy? Which loss hurts the most now? Is it the 2 to North Melbourne?
Oh, the first one. It's the first one to North Melbourne. It's the one at the MCG to North Melbourne, which is inexcusable. Losing in Tasmania is understandable in some respects. It's not easy to go down there. Collingwood are playing some good footy at the moment, but the first loss to North Melbourne, fair dinkum.
Yeah.
Oh. And also, let's not forget the Dockers' loss, 106 to 104. How Melbourne let the Fremantle kick 106 points at the MCG was amazing.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
That's literally like a 14th or a 15th of their entire season score. one game.
I'm laughing, but I'm crying at the same time. Okay, club reviews. And look, we've just spoken about Melbourne, but we'll go down the ladder, 9 to 18. We'll finish off with Jonathan Brown joining us to talk about the Brisbane Lions. But Melbourne, how would you, first of all, let's get your grade for the Demons, first of all, Max. How would you grade the Demons this year?
I think you have to go with about a B minus. before the loss to Collingwood last weekend, it's a B plus. You know, yes. The fact they get to 12 wins, they're obviously in finals contention until the very last moments of the season. And they looked really good at times, but we knew what their problem was going to be. It's their youth and it's their inconsistency. Mm. That's what that brings. And because of it, they lost games they shouldn't have. They played terrible for quarters at a time in games they shouldn't have. And it's what ended up costing them the final spot. But they did have some emerging players. The ruck sort of struggled by the end of the season. Max Gawn didn't have a great year.
Yeah, Max Gawn struggled after he came back from injury. 12 wins, two more than last year. Riley, how would you grade them? You be careful here, son.
I was going to say C.
Yeah,
because you see the way they play in round one against St Kilda. You see the way they play against Adelaide over there.
The Bulldogs at Etihad Stadium.
And then the fact that they threw in some terrible performances like that. I think you say the youth, and I think you can't overestimate just how much the youth of Simon Goodwin played a part in it as well. I've said this numerous times throughout the year, and I thought it happened on Saturday as well. The amount of times they were a bit reactive in the coach's box. And Simon Goodwin will grow as a coach. I mean, it's his first year in the helm. He'll grow. He'll develop. I think he'll learn from his mistakes that he made this year.
Too reactive, not reactive enough?
No, too reactive.
So not proactive enough, is what you're saying?
I think maybe non-reactive enough. I just remember a couple of times throughout the year where I think to myself, make the simple change. There's a simple change could have been made. They didn't make it quickly enough. And as you said, Maxie, that resulted in entire quarters slipping away from them. So I think they'll be fine in the long run. But for this year, I'm really frustrated by them because I expected more, especially after what they produced in round one against St Kilda. I thought they were on their way.
Yep.
As a fan, how do you feel?
No, I think it's a B. I think on average, probably C plus or B. The thing that I think they need to work out is their connectivity from mid to forward really struggled at certain times. And I think that's because their forward line was never settled. They were forced to put Tom McDonald forward. Cam Pedersen had a big load on his shoulders, had a good season by his own standards, but still not a superstar player.
Jack Watts was either injured or out of form.
Correct. Just things didn't quite go their way. I still think they'll play finals next year. They're still a young team. The Western Bulldogs, Max, they finished 10th. 44 points, 11 wins, 11 losses. A premiership hangover that will leave them with a fair headache.
The weird thing is, I still got to give them a C. So it's a passing grade, even though it's the reigning premiers missing out on the finals, because you have to keep into consideration that they did finish 7th last year. They weren't this elite team. Everyone had them sort of around the top four mark, bottom of the top four, doing their ladders at the start of the season. And I think we just look at September and think, well, they'll carry on that form. But it made them a target. They didn't get the improvement from the players. Which Bulldogs improved? There were maybe two or three at most.
Mitch Wallace came back and played well, but he didn't play last year.
And was dropped at the end of the season for some reason, even though he was one of their better players, I thought.
Are we suggesting that the Bulldogs are a Chumbawamba, tub-thumping style one-hit wonder, Riley?
Sorry?
That's unbelievable.
You know the song, Max? It's a one-hit wonder, Riley.
Can you sing it for us?
I get knocked down, I get up again, it goes.
I don't think so. I think I was watching on Friday night, maybe it was because they were playing Hawthorn, but the similarities between them and Hawthorn of 2008 and 2009 are pretty stark. I mean, a side that probably won the premiership before was meant to a strong core of players. Like, it wouldn't be surprised if you saw the likes of Bont, Hunter, McRae, these younger blokes step up next year and really drive the list forward. I mean, Bailey Dale's been good. Yeah. He's shown good signs. They'll be fine in the long run. I don't think this is too disappointing for them.
What's your grade?
I gave them a C as well.
Yeah, okay.
I think if they keep the core together, I mean, talking about going around and trading Jake Stringer, come on.
No,
he's 23 years old.
Ridiculous.
He's a forward. He's going to be fine. Give him 2 or 3 years when he's at his peak, and the rest of the players will be at their peak as well. I think they'll be fine in the long run. I don't want to be too stressed about them.
What the hell were they doing recruiting Travis Cloke?
Yeah, I don't know.
What was that?
It's a mistake.
It felt weird at the time, and it feels even weirder now.
Yeah, it does. That's true. And there's been a few rumours going around that he might not even be there next year.
Might retire.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to say was, you mentioned it before with Mitch Wallace. I think Luke Beveridge might have been trying a bit too hard to really like put his footprint on the team
too cute.
To start the year. I mean, they made 20 changes in the first five rounds, I think it was. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to have a settled side, let the team refine its best form, and they were never able to do that throughout the year.
It's almost like last year they had to make so many changes forced through injury,
yeah.
and they showed that they had such a deep list. Mm. And it's almost like, well, we've got this deep list, we've got to use it.
Yeah.
You didn't have to.
There's a quote I saw from Ross Lyon, which I spoke to you about last week, Max, on integrity of selection. And Ross Lyon said, you've got to support the person but challenge the behaviour. I wonder whether Luke Beveridge didn't support the person enough and challenge the behaviour too much.
Sorry, could you do that?
No, you can do that.
You gotta support the person but challenge the behaviour.
And thanks for Ross Lyon for joining us on the Fox Footy podcast. St Kilda, disappointing season, 11-11 like the Dogs, but it felt a little bit worse than that, especially because of the way they finished and some of the losses they had along the way. How would you grade them, Riley?
C again, but they were lucky not to get a D from me, because I think you look at the times when there was a lot of promise and a lot of expectation around St Kilda. It's before round one, they go out and get hammered by Melbourne. It was after that Richmond game, they lose 3 or 4 in the trot after that. I think when they needed to take the next step, they didn't. I think they still lack a couple. They're still a couple of bodies light in midfield. I don't think they didn't get their forward balance right throughout the year. I don't think Jack Stephen particularly had the season that many expected him to, which is fine. He'll bounce back. I mean, he's still young, and we know he's an A grader. So, look, I think if they get a few things clicking next year, they'll be fine. I think Paddy McCartan having an extended run to the side without Nick Rewald will probably do him a bit of good. I'm interested to see where they go next year, because with Rewald and potentially Montagna going out of the side, I think they desperately need Josh Kelly, and whether or not they get him is still up in the air, but they need some class in the middle.
For me, it's a C as well. They were a fortunate 12 wins last year. So to be on 11 this year, it's about the exact same mark. But that's their season. They didn't grow. They still have the same issues. They just don't have the line-breaking, game-breaking talent that they need, a Josh Kelly type. Rewalt did fade at the back half of the season. I did see a stat, though, that was something like, with Rewalt, Bruce and Membry in the team, they won 10 or 11 games.
Yeah.
All the other, and when they had at least one of them out, they didn't.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big problem when they all played. It was almost very good. They had all their talent in there, but they had some problems with injuries, and they just don't have the list that was ready to challenge the finals. I didn't think they would, and that they were what I thought they were, to quote Dennis Green of the Arizona Cardinals.
I think one of the good things about St Kilda is they've got picks 7 and 8 in the upcoming draft, so they have some bargaining power. I'm not sure they should use picks 7 and 8. I think they should trade one or both of them out. They don't need an 18-year-old talent. They actually need some 20, 21, 22-year-old talent to bring in. Maybe Josh Kelly's part of that. Okay. The other thing I saw with St Kilda was they won 3 games in a row early in the year, in April, May, and then lost 3 games in a row straight after that.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the year, they won 4 games in a row and then lost 3 games in a row after that.
That's what I'm saying. Every time they needed to take the next step, they didn't take the next
step. Well, every time they were on the precipice, they fell off.
That GWS game. They did that performance and then all straight afterwards.
Yeah, and it happened time and time again.
Richmond games are perfect.
And as John Anderson mentioned in the Herald Sun Super Ladder this morning, there's no indication that they will improve next year. They're very different to Melbourne in that regard.
Yeah.
Who's really good? I mean, Seb Ross has stepped up this year. Jade Gresham's a little star, but who is going to step up and take this team to finals? It's very hard to see too many players, I think, in that team. I might be wrong, but
I'm looking at the three forwards. I'm looking at Bruce McCartan and Membry and saying, right, now everyone's been saying,
but isn't it their midfield?
I do think it's their midfield, and I think you'll find that Jack Billings will probably spend more time in there next year. And they're starting to build a deeper balance, and if they can get Kelly, that's great. But those three guys need to be the three that say, right, this team's going on our back every week, and we're going to keep the goals, because they need to be 40 goal kickers.
They need one of them.
Yeah, one or two of them need to be
an A grader. You need an A grader in that group. I don't think any of them are at this point.
And there is no team that needs Josh Kelly, in my opinion, more than St Kilda need Josh Kelly.
Yep. Completely agree.
Hawthorn, the last time they missed finals is 2009. They've missed finals again. But really, this seems to be quite a happy miss of finals.
A happy team at Hawthorn, you would say.
Yeah. They played some good footy. They challenged for finals, and they lifted in the back half of the year after what was really a disastrous start, Rolls.
Can I give them a B?
You can give them whatever you want.
It's so weird, but yeah.
I think even a B or a B-plus is probably fair.
I think the fact that they've found so many young kids, even Harry Morrison looked good on Friday night. So they've found kids that are going to take the group forward. They've still got quality A-graders. I mean, you saw Roughhead on Friday night. It was fantastic. The moves to put Sicily and Gunston into defence shows that they won't necessarily miss Hodge as much as many people thought they would. Look, they'll be fine, and it wouldn't shock you to see them coming out and playing finals next year. Tom Mitchell was probably the recruit of the year.
If there was ever an argument for keeping Clarko through a rebuild, this year was it. Because the start of the season was horrific. They looked terrible. They looked like one of the worst teams in the league.
They did.
After their first four games, they were a middle-of-the-pack league average team that was worthy of finishing 7th or 8th. Take out those four games, they were easily worthy of
finals. They beat Sydney twice.
They were a solid... They beat Adelaide. A very solid team once they got everything right, once they figured out what the problems were. I'm still going to give them a C-plus because this was a team that finished in the top four last year.
Finished 12th this year, and
completely collapsed. But the narrative is so interesting how they've gone through a mini rebuild during a season. There's so much optimism for a team that dropped out of flag contention every year and finished 12th. It's remarkable.
And their ruckman, Ben McAvoy, played some good footy. They found one in Ryan Burton, had a good season in the mix for the Rising Star. Yeah, I completely agree. I agree with C+.
And isn't it funny how Alistair Clarkson's never won a Coach of the Year award, and probably the best chance he's had in his history. They didn't make finals. I mean, we saw this year just how good a coach he is. Some of the things, like who'd have thought to throw Gunston and Sicily back into defence halfway through the season?
Well, as we speak, it's 9:33 a.m. Max and Riles.
Thanks for the update.
Because in less than an hour, Collingwood holding a press conference regarding, we presume, their coach, Nathan Buckley, and we expect that he'll be re-signed without actually knowing it for 2 years. Where do we rank their season?
I've been the optimist on Collingwood, and it's because of games like the game against Melbourne that you see why. You have to give them a C because they technically improved in the win totals. Buckley stopped the trend of losing more games every season. They won 9.5 instead of 9. But it's just such, you know what the problems are at Collingwood, you know what they need to do, and they have the list problems, they have too many midfielders, they can't kick, they can't get the scoring right, they have all these problems, and then they come out and play games that they look reasonably
great.
It's so weird.
What grade have you given them?
C.
C. You, Rolls?
D. They didn't make finals. They were meant to make finals. The whole gear was built around finals. We didn't set that expectation for them. They set that expectation. They didn't make finals. They didn't come close to making finals. They never looked like making finals at any stage of the season.
They were 5-10. I agree with you, Riles. I think D is probably fair.
Yeah.
I think we're sympathetic a little
because I really like Nathan Buckley and I really want him to do well. And he's going to get this new contract and good on him. And I hope he still does well. But it's like, on what basis are they giving him a new contract?
Yeah. We presume he will get a new contract.
Because you bring in a new coach when you're entering a new phase, right? Or you need to because the team does not want to play for the coach. The latter is definitely not right. Everyone clearly wants to play for Buckley. They clearly like him. Whether he's the right strategic coach is another matter. But are they entering a new phase? Are they going to rebuild this list now? Or are they going to try and top it up again right now and go for the flag again? If Daniel Wells plays all season, which was never going to happen, they contend.
Yeah, I agree. But do you take the approach of, right, you've got us this far, now we bring in a new person to get us to the next level? Which a lot of sports, and I know you can't really compare it to AFL, but a lot of sports around the world do that. They have a coach that takes them to a certain level, can't get them further, bring in that coach that has the brain to get them further. I think they're strangely in a similar situation to St Kilda in that regard.
The Nathan Buckley conundrum is really interesting, and it's amazing how the narrative has turned from he can't stay to he probably will stay based on just some reasonable form in the back half of the year. They weren't unbelievable in the back half of the year. They were better, and they were at best good, but they weren't incredible. They weren't as good as Hawthorn were at their best, for example.
Do you think the overwhelming majority of Collingwood supporters want Nathan Buckley to stay?
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
Because I think we underestimate the role that fans play. And a lot of that negativity stems from the supporter base, I think. And you've got to build a positive atmosphere around the club. And believe me, I'm no one to judge whether or not Nathan Buckley should be there. Yeah. Like, I'm not qualified for that. But I just wonder, I know what a supporter's mindset's like, and if they've witnessed this again, and if they do witness it again next year. So they give them a two-year contract. What happens if they don't make finals next year?
Yeah, what happens if they're 1-5?
Do they have to have a clause in the contract saying, all right, this year? But no, because they did that last year. They said if he doesn't make finals.
Which is why they have the policy at that club where they don't do two-year contracts. So we don't know what the contract has been at this point if he gets it, but I'm assuming it's going to be one because it's what they do, even though that gives him so little rope to work with.
I can't see it being a one-year deal because I don't think the same thing can happen this year as what happened... Sorry, next year as what happened this year.
Then they're committing.
then they're committing. Yep. And you can't begrudge them for committing if that's what they're doing, but then Eddie's job is or position is genuinely on the line.
They needed to sack him. They needed a reason to in the back half of the season and didn't get it.
They didn't get it.
They didn't necessarily get a reason to keep him, but they didn't get a reason to sack him, so he's going to stay. I think the status quo will remain.
Yep. Fremantle finished 14th, 8 wins and 14 losses. They had a good little run of form just before the bye, I think, where they won a few games in a row. But on the whole, it was a disappointing end to their season. They struggled to score. They had a percentage of just 74. They've had a couple of retirements. Sanderlands is playing on. That Fife played some good football, but how would you grade them, Max?
C minus. They were 6-3 at one point. They were like 7th on the ladder. They were 6-3.
I don't remember that.
On percentage, they were the worst 6-3 team in the history of the VFL and AFL. They were not a good team, and they were getting in on close wins. And everyone was like, oh, Freo. Ah. Like, no, they're
Melbourne
bad.
And Richmond at the G, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
You forget about that because it seems so long ago now.
It's remarkable how well this team did based on wins and losses. That they have the exact same problem they had last year. Without the Fife Sanderlands combo inspiring their midfield to get stoppage scoring going, they have nothing. They cannot score. Their forward line is still terrible. Kirsten and McCarthy were the leading goal scorers, though weren't good. I think one of them, the best would have been on like 26 goals, 25 goals. That's nothing. And Shane Kirsten, you know, he was an outcast at Geelong. He's doing as he is. Cam McCarthy, probably a bit of a disappointment. You would like to see a bit more, but you don't have that supply. This team, they played the youth eventually after round two, which was good. But they don't have the star youth because they've been trying to win the flag for 5 or 6 years, so they don't have all those recruits that actually are going to make that big impact.
I give them a D. I think it's second half of the year is worrying because I didn't see, apart from that Fife, anyone really...
And that was the real Fremantle the second half of the year.
No one really took the step up, I don't think.
And Ross Lyon has a bit of pressure on him now. He's still got 3 years to run on his contract, but he's by no means... It's become clear that Ross Lyon and Fremantle aren't necessarily a long-term viable option if next year doesn't go to plan. I think they can't afford to have a year where they win 5 or 6 or 7
but
games.
But what is the plan next year? That's the problem, is that he's going to be in that position 100%, because there's no way that they contend for finals next year.
Well,
what is the Fremantle team that contends for finals? Is the one that has Sanderlands all year and also Bunnell plays at full capacity and they bring in one or two more people in the trade period and suddenly have a team that can score?
Well, they need to bring in a few people, I think. They can't just continue to play with the group they've got.
And then they don't have the lockdown defence either now, because when they score... They won the minor premiership in 2015. In that season, they scored fewer points than Brisbane did this season.
Which
is nuts.
That's unbelievable.
But and says a lot about how the game sort of changed, and whether Ross hasn't changed with it is an issue as well. But they've never been able to score, but they need to be able to score at least a little bit. And then if they're going to do that, they have to have an elite defence. And I don't see either of those things coming true.
North Melbourne, they finished 15th. They won 6 games. 2 of them were against Melbourne. And they won as many games as Gold Coast. How would you grade the Kangaroos, Rolls? It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is a tough one. They lost 10 of their last 12, so they're actually doing well until the halfway point, which I think you'll find with a lot of young sides. They played 11 debutants, which is good, but my worry is when you play 11 debutants, you'd expect at least one of them to get a rising star nod. They haven't had a single, up to this point, we don't know what's going to happen in round 23, but they haven't had a single rising star nomination for the entire year.
So I feel like a lot of them sort of leaked out over the back half of the season.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess we'll play you.
Yeah, and I think... I'm not saying that's the only reason why they did it, but at the end of the season, you can go and you can say, look, we played 11 debutants.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying they handed games away. I'm just saying that it's a good number for them to be able to show their members, say, this is how we're building. I wonder, given how much we've heard about their list strategy at the end of the year, whether or not they think their elite bracket is in the elite bracket within the competition. So whether or not they think the likes of Zeeble, Cunnington...
Even Ben Brown.
Are in the best place Tarrant. In the competition. Yeah. Because if you're targeting Dustin Martin on a 7-year deal and he's 26 already, you've got to think that they're hoping to win a premiership in that time.
Yep. In so 3 or 4 years.
Do they think that the likes of Zeeble and Cunnington are good enough? I'd love to know how highly they rate those players. I think Cunnington had a very good year. And Ben Brown obviously has become one of the best young key forwards.
North Melbourne, and given their membership profile and their number of fans, is just about selling hope. And I think bringing Dustin Martin in is as much about that as it is winning games in the next 2 or 3 years.
It's a marketing play.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily.
That's definitely part of it.
You've got to go first and foremost, it's a football.
No,
but it can't be about winning a flag in the next 2 or 3 years, because they won't. So therefore,
that's what I'm wondering, because they made, we forget that they made a prelim 2 years ago with virtually a core that remains, but they've cut out the heart of that core, and I think they want to play, they want to replace the heart of that, the Brent Harveys, the Drew Petries. They want to replace them with Dustin Martin and Josh Kelly. So I wonder if they think if we had players at that level 2 years ago, whether or not we could have won the flag.
And you understand that they want to have one more go at winning it with this core, but it's whether they can do it in time, as you're saying. Because they do not have the young talent. They have the 11 debutants, but how many of them are going to be stars? How many of
them are going to be A-grade?
It's hard to say. Really,
but going say. As draft picks, how many of them are going to be were elite
That's
talent?
That's the thing. I watched a lot of their drafts over the last 3 years. I've got a question marks over a few. I think Jai Simpkins... one
yes.
that has the ability to jump into that bracket in 4 or 5 years' time. You don't want to put too much pressure on them, but yeah, they're tough to rate, I reckon.
What do you grade them, Max, quickly?
C-. It's who we thought they were. I didn't think they were going to be any good. I thought they were going to be bottom four, and they're 15th. So they looked okay. They were close in some games.
Carlton, 16th. Carlton is such an interesting team. To assess.
Did they go forward this year? I think that's the question.
Yeah, well, okay, give me your thoughts, Riley, and give us a grade for the Blues.
I think a D.
Yeah.
D or a C, I think you've got to be, given what they were like 2 years ago under Mick Malthouse, you've got to be impressed with the way that they've remained competitive throughout the entire season. They only had two blowout losses. One was in round 23 where they played a terrible half of footy. The other was against Port Adelaide. They were in virtually every other game apart from that. So I think you've got to take promise from that. They've got a couple of really good... This is the difference. I think Carlton have the stars in their youth, which we probably haven't seen develop from North Melbourne yet, but they're a couple of years further ahead. But I just worry about the scoring.
Yeah, well...
Like they haven't kicked a score of 100 points or more in just about 18 months.
It's about 35 games, isn't it?
Yeah, so I worry about the scoring. I think that's what the focus has got to be on next year. We saw Melbourne do this 3 years ago and they took the leap. They started scoring. They have to do that next year. And if it goes the same way and they keep playing the same style of football, then it's genuinely just damage limitation. You've got to ask questions about when they're going to become an actual force.
This is very much the third year under Ruse next year.
It is.
It has to be that.
Yeah.
It has to be.
No, I don't think so.
Well,
that's what I've been hoping for.
I'm not saying in terms of results.
I think they're in 1 and 2 under Ruse.
No, but I'm saying in terms of they were a purely, okay, we're building a team from scratch, basically. Yeah. Building a team that was terrible for years from scratch. Let's get the defensive side of the ball right and then work on it from there. That's what Melbourne did for 2 years. That's what Carlton's done for 2 years. Yeah. So in the third year, let's get the scoring going, because the easiest thing structurally is to do the defence first.
They scored 1,594 points this year, the fewest in the comp, less than Freo, and 200 less than the Brisbane Lions. But the thing that strikes me most about them is that their average winning margin was 13 points. Nothing came easy for the Blues this year.
They snuck by in quite a few
say,
wins.
You say that, but... Then the games that they did win, like you look at the Essendon game where they won by 15 points.
Yes.
You look at the Collingwood game where they won by 13 points. They were in control of those games because their opposition kicked under 60 points, so it never looked like that.
When they're in control of a game, it's going to be a three-goal margin.
That's why I think they did very well. You even saw it in the first half against Sydney, which was a very good side. Yeah. They looked in control. So I
in
think the way they can control games is really promising. Now they need to turn that into... being able to run over sides offensively. And if they lose Casbolt, I know it's like not the greatest loss of all time, but if they lose Casbolt, that's another goal kicker out of this side.
He's good this year. He's still a good mark, and he fixed his kicking for the most part.
Yeah.
Good might be strong.
They need more.
Yes, and I would say that I'm going to give them a C as well. They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
And they showed improvement in some areas. They faded a little bit at times in the back half of the season, and I was ready to write them off about 4 weeks ago. And then they picked it up against in rounds 20 and 21. They had some reasonable performances, writing games, threatening teams.
Who did they beat last week?
They beat a couple of weeks ago. Not off the top of the head, I don't remember. But you're the fan here. They were all right.
Hawthorn, that's the one I was
saying. Yeah. Let's go to Queensland. Well, that'd be good. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Gold Coast Suns. The end of the season was shocking. They sacked their coach. They're going to lose their marquee player, their only superstar they've ever had. They've still got Tom Lynch under contract for another year, Steve May for another 2 years. But how would you grade their 2017, Max?
D.
Riley?
F.
F?
Yeah.
A fail. Yeah, it is.
Is it a failure?
Did you think they were going to contend?
Well, I thought they were going to be better than what they were. I don't think they're going to contend, but I just want a competitiveness from them, because you can see what they're trying to do. They've got their key position players at either end of the field. They didn't have a midfield, but they tried to build it. They had four top 10 picks last year where they tried to build that midfield up. You've got to be competitive, and they just weren't. This is why Carlton are ahead of them at the moment, because Carlton were competitive.
Yeah.
They were not competitive.
Yeah. No, you're right. I'm probably being optimistic with the D. The round 23 loss, it's a fitting lowest point. No coach, no star player, no scoring, worse since 66.
Yeah, no hope.
They've got no direction.
Yeah.
You've got to sell something to... Forget the fans for a second. You've got to sell something for Tom Lynch.
You've got to sell something for a new coach. Why would you go to the Gold Coast right now? It's technically an AFL coaching position, but based on their performance, it isn't. It's a needful position.
You go there for the sunshine. That's about it, I reckon.
Well, and some nice little new cafes, making it mini Melbourne.
Not a bad, bad night spot either as well.
So I've heard.
So you've heard. So the Gold Coast, I think the Gold Coast Suns an F. I'm giving them an F as well. It's a fail. They are a basket case at the moment.
And they're still 3 or 4 years away, aren't they?
Yeah, because they need to build that.
And because of that, it means they have to keep May and Lynch.
All right, there's no one more qualified to talk about the Brisbane Lions than the three-time premiership star and former captain Jonathan Brown, ahead of On the Couch tonight as well at 8:30 on Fox Footy. Brownie, thanks for joining us.
No worries, boys. Great to be on. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. So the Lions, let's talk about them. We're getting grades from everyone for every club that missed the finals this year. What would be your grade for Brisbane Lions from A-plus down to F?
Look, I think it's been pretty encouraging. You know, I've certainly got a C in there somewhere, boys.
Yep.
You know, I think it's probably the best performed at Wooden Spoon Club we've seen for quite a few years. You know, the expectations coming in was probably lucky to get 3 wins. They did that. I think they ended up with 5, was it? But I think mainly, you know, the percentage wasn't too bad. They were very competitive, especially the back half of the year, since they went round 15 win against the Bombers. And in a lot of games, they showed plenty of fight. But the main talking point really is the young talent that looks like the young talent that the Lions have on their list. So has to be a C for mine.
Brownie, in terms of the impact Chris Fagan's had up there, just how much has that done for the atmosphere and the environment around the club? Because it seems like it's a really positive place to be at the moment.
It is, yeah. Morale's high, and that's huge. You know, Chris Fagan's come in, and along with David Noble, they've done an incredible job. The morale of the whole place is really high. That's very important, and obviously permeates throughout, and it obviously hits the playing group. I think the other thing is too, Fags is an educator and comes from a teaching background. He's obviously very experienced in the coaching game as well. He's been to successful clubs. He's coached the success himself. So, you know, I just think that it's important that you've got a coach in place that knows how to teach younger fellas the game. Obviously, teach them the skill level part of the game, but also, how to play as a team, really. And I think that's been the biggest strength that he's brought to the table. And his enthusiasm is infectious. You've seen it in the press conference, boys. He's always got a smile on his face. And I think he's like that behind closed doors.
Brownie, I think since mid-season, they were about the fourth or fifth best scoring team in the comp, which is remarkable for how young this list is. You've got players like Witherden as well and Hipwood. Who is your pick of all those?
Yeah, well, there's a whole stack of them, isn't there? It's been talked about. I like the fact that we've got some good key position players coming along. So I think for sustainability as a club and to be successful year on, year out, year in, year in, you know, you've got to be able to have a solid spine. And I think that, you know, when you're under pressure, at least you can kick the ball along and have a strong contest down the line or stop big forwards from getting off the chain. So I think we've seen the development of Hipwood and Stay and Andrews especially, and that's what a lot of clubs don't have. They don't have good young key position players coming on. So I think we've seen the top, the top four sides, three out of the top four sides have got really good key position players. Actually, Richmond do as well, I suppose. They've got Rance and Rewald. But look, I think that's been good. Witherden's been very impressive with his kicking skills. I think the Lions really needed some half-back talent to help with their kicking game. They've been able to get that. I think you've got Witherden now. You've got Sam Mays who's starting to come along off halfback as well. So there's some good young talent.
Brownie, would you trade pick one if you're a Brisbane Lions list manager?
Definitely not.
You'd
definitely
keep it?
Well, unless it was Josh Kelly.
Yeah. Why is that? Why would you keep pick one?
Well, I just think that, you've got to stockpile the junior talent. and the younger talent. And when you've got pick one, you've obviously got the pick of the talent in the country. The clubs have become very good at nailing pick one nowadays. So I'd be keeping pick one unless there was a player like Kelly or Dustin Martin there available. But, you know, I think that's very unlikely to happen. So you keep pick one. And you've also got 14 and 18.
Yeah.
Most likely. So I think you use, you potentially look at 14 and 18 as trades. You know, whether they can get Charlie Cameron to come back to Brisbane. There's been a little bit of talk about that. You might have to use one of those picks on him. But unless it's an absolute, it's the right trade for a mature age player, you use those three first round picks on three quality younger players coming up through the system.
And just quickly on that pick one, what type of player would you be after, or simply best available?
Midfielder. Midfielder. You can't have enough midfielders. And, you know, obviously a hybrid midfielder. You know, if you have the choice, when I say hybrid midfielder, you know, a guy that can play inside, outside, can play forward as well, can potentially play halfback at times as well. They need to be able to kick the footy, I think, in this day and age. So, you know, and obviously a guy that you're confident won't get homesick. You know, I think there's starting to build a strong culture at the footy club, but, you know, you probably lean for a country boy. There's a tendency.
A bit like there's yourself, Brownie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but we laugh about it. There is probably a thought out there that you're a little bit more confident with country boys not getting homesick because they have to leave home no matter what, even if they have to go and play in Melbourne. So, but, you know, ultimately, you know, because you do have to think ahead. A couple of Brisbane has to think ahead about these things because it's an absolute disaster if you lose your good first rounders after 2 years. They want to go home.
Yeah. Max, just very quickly, what grade would you give Brisbane this year?
I'd also give them a C. I really feel optimistic about a team that finished 18th and won 5 games.
Riley?
B. And it's interesting that Brownie talked about the country guide, because I reckon Paddy Dow's probably shaping to be the pick one. He's almost in the Paddy Dangerfield mould, and yeah, he's a country lad. So I reckon he might be shaping up to be pick one at the moment.
And Brownie, on the couch tonight, a huge episode after round 23. What have you got in store for us?
Well, Nathan Buckley's been re-signed as Collingwood coach, so that'll be a big talk.
There we go. We've got an exclusive on the podcast.
That's right. There it is. Re-signed as Collingwood coach. So obviously we'll talk a fair bit about them. Impressive win on Sunday. Yeah. Well, certainly at the moment it has to be a fair bit about the D's. It's the one that got away from the D's. They turned up and played bruise-free football in the first quarter against the Pies, and it was costly for him because I think now really this hurts Dean's chance to win the flag in 2018. I'm a firm believer that you have to experience a final series before you actually win a grand final. So I think this sets the D's back 12 months of their development. So that's obviously a big talking point. You know, we'll probably have a closer look at the finals teams and also the teams that missed out. So yeah, there's plenty to talk about on the couch, that's for sure, boys.
Brandon, on the D's, do you think that's going to scar them, that loss?
Well, scar them. No, I think they'll learn a fair bit from them. I just think that's their development a bit. And also, to me, it emphasises the importance of Jack Viney. You know, I think Jack Viney, when he doesn't play, the Demons are nowhere near as consistent with their contest work. And I think that clearly showed again on the weekend when Viney hasn't been there. They seem to have struggled in that area at times throughout periods of the game. So, you know, they've got to have a look at a few things. They need to get Jesse Hogan fit and healthy. We saw he went out with a hamstring. He's had a wretched year, you know, off field with, you know, his body and obviously with personal dramas as well. So hopefully he can sort of get him back on track there. They need to get Max Gawn healthy, get Jack Watts back in really good form. They probably just need to look at their key defenders. You know, is Oliver McDonald going to be the man to stop a Buddy Franklin? Or is it Sam Frost? Does Tom McDonald go back? Or do they need to really push hard now for Jake Lever?
Yep.
He's telling us now they need to really load up and get Jake Lever over the line at all costs. Because to me, at the moment, it looks as though Melbourne's got enough young talent on the list that they could be a contender come September.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for joining us, Brownie. Look forward to On The Couch tonight, 8:30 on Fox Footy. Have a good show.
Great. Good on you, boys.
Thank you. Cheers, mate. Jonathan Brown, as always, with some very good lines there. Riles, fair and fast, quickly. I'm going to give this to both of you here. Fair or fast, Australia's favourite segment. None of these teams that missed the eight can challenge for a flag next year. Fair or fast, Riles?
Fair.
Yep.
Who's going to be the one? Melbourne, it would be the one because they've got that unpredictability factor, but I don't think they're yet there yet.
Fair, fast. Melbourne.
You two have been on a warpath all podcast, and it's terrific to see it continue.
They were in optimistic... conversations for the premiership this year.
No, they weren't.
Riles?
From Melbourne fans.
From David King, bringing
Melbourne
it up.
Fan.
Yeah.
Fair or fast for you, Tommy. Yes. Nathan Lyon should have come in at number three last night.
Fair. He came in at number four, which is ridiculous. He should have protected Usman Khawaja. Thanks for joining us. And as we actually have gone to air on the podcast, Jake Nile has reported that indeed Collingwood has given Nathan Buckley a 2-year contract extension. That's great that the news cycle unfolds while we are doing the podcast. And that is terrific. So if you're listening to it and you've listened through the whole way, we're sorry we couldn't be as definitive earlier in the podcast, but now you have it. Nathan Buckley, 2 more years at the Pies, at least until they're Norton 15 next year and Eddie McGuire has to sack it. Well, it's been terrific, these podcasts throughout this home and away season. Riley, foxfooty.com.au this week. What have you got planned?
A lot. MVP's coming out today. Someone on All Australian, the Rising Star, later in the week.
Season.
I might even dabble into the football and speak about the Reds because they're going to win the league. So, lot to come on foxfooty.com.au and a lot to check out.
And Max, you're about to get on a flight somewhere.
New York to go play a video game.
Yeah,
because I have a really good job.
Yeah, that's
the NBA 2K launch event, so we'll have some coverage there. Hopefully,
is Kyrie going to be there?
The weird thing is they keep pushing back. Oh, we'll let you know the itinerary soon. Don't worry. So it feels to me like they're trying to confirm that Kyrie's going to be there. So.
Well, enjoy your junket, and we hope you've enjoyed your.
Yes.
We hope you've enjoyed this extensive review podcast for all the teams that missed the finals. I go for one of those teams. Riley goes for one of those teams. And Max's team, Geelong, they're very much in the mix for the flag. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. And we'll see you in a fortnight after week one of the finals in 2017.